Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. You can download the podcast. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Key, I got to say it, just because it's really funny to me, and Max is in the trenches with us every day. I remember this like a year and a half ago, I was coming in the studio, and Max was getting ready to do first take, and he's like, Jay, you look tired. What's wrong with you? I'm like, because I'm always tired, Max. I'm always tired. I'm watching games until 12:30 at night, and I'm coming
Jay
into work
Jay looked like
at
he was
five.
In physical prime. I got to the studio one day. He went, my precious. I'm like, what's going on?
Now I'm looking at everyone. I'm like, what's up, Max? He's like, oh, man, this is real. I'm like, yes.
Well, I've been a little under the weather recently.
You have?
A little bit. I don't know if you've noticed.
Can't tell.
Where's my mask at in here?
It's too late for that, Jay.
It is too late. I know.
You have about 3 days to live. I didn't want to tell you.
Jeez.
So we had Mike Reese on earlier in the show and asked him how much pressure was on Mac Jones this season. What were the expectations? And here's Mike Reese.
Really high. I mean, Max, I was out at their draft party, and I was listening to, you know, the owner, Robert Kraft, tell the season ticket members, like, we think we've got the coach and the quarterback, you know, to lead us where we want to go. And when I hear those words, it's like, okay, last year they wanted to bring Mac along as a rookie, not put too much on his plate. And Mac actually said yesterday, when you're a rookie, all those plates are hot when you're coming in as a rookie in the NFL. But this year, I just feel like there's been a shift. It's like, Mac, be that leader, right? And we're going to put it on you to be that leader and to elevate that much more. So I think it's fair to say that the expectation is raised for Mac entering year two, which Bill Belichick always says, that's the year players usually make their biggest jumps.
Key, they were in it last year, right? They were in the thick of it. Can the Patriots actually win the AFC East?
I think they can, Max, to be honest with you. I'm going to hold a strong conviction of that, though, until I see a few games and what Buffalo looks like. Buffalo's very interesting to me. They went out and got Von Miller. They certainly have upgraded at that spot on the defensive side of the ball. They got Josh Allen and Diggs and company coming back. I just want to see what it looks like with Ken Dorsey calling plays opposed to Brian Daboll. I kind of know New England's going to be there. 2 years ago with Cam Newton at the quarterback spot, it was a rough going, but they were still fighting, scratching, and clawing with a team that was basically put together overnight. Now you got a quarterback in his second year who needs to take a giant leap and show everybody that one of the two training wheels are coming off.
Key, is there – we always talk about, you know, one of the things I've heard you say in this show a lot, and I've heard other athletes say this that played in the NFL, is that the loss of Brian Daboll, him coming to the New York Giants, what that means for Josh Allen, who's ascended into the MVP conversation, that's a big question that they have, right? Like, how is Josh Allen going to move forward? Is there not the same level of concern for a guy like Mac Jones not having Josh McDaniels there anymore? Or is that just lift it because Bill Belichick, who's the mastermind, is going to take care of everything. Even though Matt Patricia, who's been primarily on the defensive side of the ball, and then you got Joe Judge, who was with the Giants for a long time, who got the head coaching job after being part of the special teams unit, like they're kind of jockeying to see who's going to be the leader as it relates to who's going to be the play caller for the offense. Like, is there no concern about that for Mac Jones in his second year, who's still so young and formidable?
The Giants hired a special teams coordinator.
I know. I try not to get sidetracked by that. You see me trying to blow by that really quickly?
I would say that there is concern when you have a young quarterback and now all of a sudden he loses his offensive coordinator, quarterback coach. So you're going to have a little bit of a, I don't know, somewhat of a drop-off to some degree. But there's concerns there. But there's also concerns that the New York Jets they've gotten better. They've gotten better, but what about their quarterback situation? Miami has gotten better. What about their quarterback and head coach situation? So when you look in the AFC East, With that being said, New England still has Bill Belichick in a quarterback who played a team to, into the playoffs, although many would say it wasn't all about him, but he did factor into some of it in helping them get to the playoffs. Their defense is a question mark going into the season. But as long as you got Bill Belichick, I mean, you just it's hard to bet against.
Okay, I want to circle back to something here, though. The Bill Belichick of it all. Like, look, I'm not saying Mac Jones ever has to be Tom Brady. And because of that, it doesn't mean Belichick needs to get back to winning the Super Bowl every other year, right? But there's an opportunity here. Like every, just like I say with Steph Curry or CP3, if you're still coaching, if you're still playing, you're still writing your story. It's not over, right? And Belichick has an opportunity. If he takes if a Mac Jones quarterback franchise over the next 5, 10 years, whatever, gets to be a perennial playoff team that sometimes makes a run, wins a couple playoff games, that makes Belichick look good. Mm-hmm. If they're in the playoffs 1 year as a wild card, they miss another, et cetera, and they just become another franchise like that, that's not so good. Because it really does make it look like so much of the success was dependent upon Tom Brady.
I'll never let you say that, Max. Because it's ridiculous to think that the reason that Bill Belichick, if he doesn't win another playoff game, the reason he won his 6 Super Bowls is because of Tom Brady.
Wait, I can't. If he doesn't win another playoff game?
First of all, Tom Brady's first 2.5 to 3 Super Bowls, Tom Brady was a guy in a damn jersey.
And yet he won
Super Bowl. Stop. Willie McGinnis and them. Let's stop. So Willie McGinnis and Ty Law and Teddy Bruschi and them dudes was the main corporate. Ted Johnson. Those dudes were the main corporates of them winning that Super Bowl against the Panthers and the Rams.
They had 20 years of success at the highest possible level with Tom Brady. If you remove Tom Brady and you don't win, did you just say if you don't win another playoff game, it doesn't mean anything?
Look, doesn't mean anything at all. He's still going down as the greatest coach in the modern era of the National Football League.
But one of the big arguments, is it more Brady or more Belichick?
That's manufactured arguments, man.
No, it's what people naturally think about and talk about. It's been going on for decades now. It has, but you can't deny it. You might not like the fact that it has, Key, but you're denying that it has.
It's manufactured, though. It's there, but it's manufactured. That people are looking for that. But when you really know this stuff, you're not paying that any attention.
Two guys, think of how many bars throughout in the last 20 years two guys sat down at over a beer and just the conversation went to, is it Brady or Belichick, right?
I get all of that, but it's not realistic.
I'll tell you what. To me, I disagree. If Belichick never wins a playoff game, that is not good for him. It's not good for him.
It's not good because you don't want it to be good.
No, it's not that. I always thought it was more Belichick, but I'd be proven wrong.
Can I ask you a question? So if Bill Belichick, hypothetically, which he's going to win a playoff game, let's be honest. But if he doesn't win a playoff game, are you trying to say that that will denounce him as the greatest coach of all time?
It will call it into question. Yeah.
I just can't.
So
can't
who would you say Max? Then will be the greatest coach of all time?
There'd be other candidates, you know?
Who?
Like Vince Lombardi, for example, right?
I wasn't born then.
Well, sure. But, you know, Tom Landry. You've seen Tom Landry coach, right? Bill Walsh. There'll be other. In other words, Belichick goes from indisputably head and shoulders above everyone who ever lived, right, to in the conversation.
Here's where I get
tickled.
No, I get pissed.
I know. I was trying to say a nice way of saying it.
Because when people say, not pissed at Max or nothing like that, but when people say, there's other coaches and this, that, and then Tom Brady. Like, first of all, somebody had to find Tom Brady. Okay? Everybody passed on Tom Brady. And the New England Patriots passed on him twice. They got him. Somebody had to coach him. Somebody had to put him in the position to be successful. Somebody had to do that.
That's why no one's questioning his greatness.
And that somebody
is Bill Belichick.
Is Bill Belichick.
Yeah, that's why no, obviously, I'm saying, you could even argue he's still number one all time. It just changes it from, man, it's not even a conversation, to now it's a conversation. Not his greatness, but his goatness.
Yeah.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax. Is presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, let's go from the AFC East to the NBA playoffs.
Backdoor cut by Tatum. He got it. Spins. Fires from 10. Off glass and good.
That was absolutely ridiculous.
Came out with the right focus, physicality, flipped, and just got to muster that same energy when we come off a win as well as a loss.
If somebody is going to get up and be physical and pressure you, you've got to meet force with force. And I thought Boston on the offensive end played with force, protected the ball, and that was how they won this basketball game.
Da-da-da-da.
And joining us now,
Family Feud.
He puts the Han in Barton Han. It's Alan Han, ladies and gentlemen, who, by the way, retweeted yesterday. I saw it, Alan. The Wu-Tang is for the children tweet where they showed the last payphone ever being taken out of New York City.
I saw that.
And Alan Han wrote something about TRS 80, right?
it was the trash 80.
I had one,
we used
Alan.
To call them. You still have one?
No, I had one because
My
parents were too cheap to spend money on a real computer. So I had the lowest, worst computer ever.
Well,
dude,
it
didn't even have a disk drive. You had to buy a tape recorder and hook it up. And the way you erased your tapes, you had to demagnetize them. Yeah. It was wild.
Yeah, but what you're referencing, though, is a PC. What I'm talking about now, all journalists, reporters, anybody out there understand the business. It's a glorified calculator. And this thing was when, at my early days as a newspaper reporter, you would take this thing with you, and I was covering like high school basketball games all around New York, and you'd be in the gym, and you'd be banging away on this thing, and it's like this tiny little LCD screen that you could barely see, and you're writing like a 500-word story, and you have to find a payphone and take these suction cups and stick them to the phone, like, you know, the actual handle of the phone, dial the number, hope that the trash 80 doesn't, like the battery doesn't die, because if it dies, guess what happens to your 500-word story?
Ugh.
It disappears. There's no hard drive. There's nothing. It was so. It's one of those. Like,
Alan, did you take did you take a computer to college?
Nah, I went to college in the early 90s. We didn't even have that stuff. There's no internet back then, man. Like
no
computer. I didn't either.
I had a boombox. I had a typewriter in my room, and that's it.
I took a typewriter to college.
I keep forgetting you are a journalist by trait, Alan. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, I'm a journalism major with an English minor, and that's what I did for most of my career before someone dragged me into this business.
No, I just you don't
come across as a journalist.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah.
Are you saying he's not credible?
Any of my friends.
Don't worry, Key. I'll finish the sentence for you.
I don't know if that's a compliment, but
no, I'm saying you just don't
come off as credible. What are you trying to say, Key? Yeah,
no, is that the shot we're taking today? I've taken a lot of bullets from you guys, by the way. I don't know why all the shrapnel's coming my way. I didn't start this, but okay, bring it.
Speaking of taking a lot of bullets.
Yeah.
Transition to that. Yeah, speaking of taking a lot of bullets, can you describe the Heat's performance?
Yeah, well, I asked this question on Twitter last night also, Max, and it got a lot of response. I'm wondering what you guys think, especially Jay. Do we have a three-point addiction problem in basketball, especially the NBA, and do we need an intervention? Because these games are also a big part of we settle and take so many just threes. We are like, why would you take that shot? You know, I understand the three-point shot is important. It opens up the middle. It does soften up a defense, all that stuff. I get it. It's important to spread the floor, create space. But there are times, especially when a team starts to, you know, this one team goes on a run, another team tries to answer it with this big three, and you look at a dude like, the hell was that shot? Like some really bad possessions based on bad threes. And the numbers I've run are say this. During the regular season, the NBA players, it's 39% of the shots this season were threes. 39%. That's still an uptick, but not terrible. In the playoffs, it's over 40% now. So it's like, it's ridiculous how many more shots, how many more threes you're taking in critical games where you think getting into the paint. You know, there's less possessions in the playoffs. So I ask you guys, do we have a three-point issue in the NBA, and do we need an intervention?
So I do believe so. Hon, I can't tell you how many times I yell at the TV on random nights when I see guys on 3-on-1 fast breaks and one guy flares out. I'm like, really, you're going to shoot a three? Like, that's an easy layup. Like, that's a 100% percentage that you can have at the rim, pretty much. But I think last night, because you sent me the shot chart, which I thought was incredible, by the way, this morning when I was doing the first segment. But I do give a little bit of that in particular in this game to the lack of aggressiveness that I saw from Bam Adebayo. And I don't get it, Alan. I don't understand. We are talking about a guy that is getting max dollars, right? Like, I know his agent. Like, we're all really good friends. I've known him since Kentucky. He's talented as hell. Yep. I know what the game plan was about him utilizing and doing things off the dribble. And I know that Time Lord is there. But for you to come off of game three where you had 22 shots to game four where you have 5 shots, and I'm not saying that's all on him, but, like, what are we doing here?
It's taking the pain away. I mean, I you want to always give the nod to the defense and to Al Horford and Robert Williams, who both were in there all and down, both taking away space. The shot chart shows you they tried to score in the paint. There was no mid-range to be spoken of, none. You could see, that's why I sent it to you. I sent it to you to show you it was all or nothing. It was take threes or try to score in the paint, and they couldn't do either. So instead of trying to just, okay, take what are they giving you? The mid-range. And some teams just can't. I thought Jimmy Butler is supposed to be one of the best mid-range players in the game, right? Isn't he supposed to be really good at the mid-range? He doesn't take threes. Where was he in this game? Don't tell me it's his knee, because he didn't tell me it was his knee. And Adebayo is a good, not great, but a good guy who can make an elbow jumper at times, but he can at least try to attack a different way. They just kept running into the same brick wall, hoping it would finally break down. And that, to me, is the problem with this Heat team. They are stubborn. They play really hard defense when the offense is going. But when it doesn't, they're a mediocre team.
Yeah, Alan Hahn of Barton Hahn joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the two that are going to take them to the task on June 1st at the South Seaport. Come out and watch if you get an opportunity to watch
excellent
us smack
reset,
them up.
Keyshawn. Excellent.
yes, Alan. I am learning.
Leave my teammate alone, Hahn.
So, Hahn, who do you think is going to win this ultimately in the East? Is it Miami or is it Boston?
Well, it's Boston. They're the better team. They're the deeper team. They're getting through injuries, whatever it is. But it's like they have to be the team. To me, they're the ones that I looked at in Game 3 and said, "What? Wait, where are you? How does Jason Tatum, as good as he is, have a game like that?" You know, they're plus 28 overall in the four games. Wow. I mean, they're outscoring the Heat by 28 points, and it's 2-2. It doesn't make any sense. They are the better team. They just have to now go to Miami and do what they've done. Go there, business trip, and take care of business. Almost take a page out of what Golden State did when they went to Dallas and did not mess around, because Phoenix went to Dallas and messed around, and suddenly it was a series. Boston's got to make this a business trip. Go down there, get a win, then come home and finish the series.
So, Hahn, I was talking this morning because we were talking about Golden State and obviously having a chance to sweep Dallas tonight. And it led me to think about, is Steph Curry maybe – one of the best teammates of all time? Like, literally, like Michael Jordan, watching The Last Dance over the last couple of days, like, he evoked fear in people, right? It got people to a great place. LeBron, at times early in his career, he's one of the best leaders the game's ever seen, but very passive at the earlier stage of his career. The environment that Stephen Curry has created in Golden State. Okay, KD, you want to be one of the greatest scorers of all time? Come here, play. You can fit in our system. I don't feel any ego at all. Hey, you talk about Poole. You want to grow up in our farm system? Great, come on. You can start, even me coming off injury. I'll come off the bench. I don't care. Do you see him that way? Is that understated about him?
One of the most comfortable people you'll ever meet in his own skin, right? Like there's a lot of people, like pro athletes especially. I'm sure you guys know them. They have all the success in the world. They're great players, but there's just something about them that they're always, like, unsure. A little bit of tension comes their way. You know, they kind of tense up. A little bit of competition comes their way. They try to size up. Like, well, you're not better than me. They don't want you to outshine them. Steph Curry doesn't care. Like, you could see it. And it's probably because of all the accomplishments he's had already in his life. So you can put all that, you know, into what makes him a great teammate. I also think the fact that he knocks down threes makes him a great teammate too, because he comes up with clutch shot after clutch shot. His heartbeat, I don't think, ever really gets above like 120, 130. I don't think he really ever gets rattled. That part's important too, which is why you'll see a turnover like you did in 2016 where he throws it behind his back for some reason to Klay Thompson, and it literally costs them a championship, because he's just calm in the moment. And it's just it's one of those plays where if it works, it looks great. But if it doesn't, it looks horrible like it did there. But I was talking to Quentin Richardson yesterday on our show, And Q said something I loved, because we were talking about the disrespectful dunks we've seen and how athletic a lot of these players are. And my God, like, you just don't want to be like Luka was on that poster with Wiggins. But yet, the most disrespectful thing you've ever seen is Steph Curry hitting a three, turning to your bench, looking at your bench as the ball's still in the air. It goes through, and then he just kind of gives you the go to sleep thing. Like, how did, like, for the nicest guy in the league and everybody, like, you love him, that might be one of the most disrespectful things you could ever do in sports, and yet it's compelling, and you'll love it.
Yeah. There may be an addiction to the three that's a problem for others, but it's not a problem for Steph Curry.
No.
Alan Hahn of Bart and Hahn. We've done everything today. We went through payphones and old ways of posting stories.
How disgusting those payphones now that you think
about it. By the way, that, when you think about it, Key, right?
Like, now when you think about it. Now,
like, somebody would hang up after breathing on it, and then you just
happily
breathe grab it.
Their earwax was in the holes.
Hold up. That's the payphone, and then you went to the water fountain at the park where little kids putting their mouths all over it and stuff. In the 70s, either it's a wonder that we all survived, or of course we all survived. We were immune to everything. Yeah, by the time we're like
70s, hell, the 80s and the 90s. Yeah, what do you mean true. 70s?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm, because I was a little kid in the 70s. That's why, Key.
Hey, Han.
Yo.
Don't think by sending me that video that you're intimidating anybody.
Yeah, tell him, Jay.
Don't what happened? What video?
No. Han knows what I'm talking about. Don't think that you're intimidating Key and I. There's no intimidation here.
How long did it take you guys to know how to edit?
I'm way too old to understand how to edit anything. Second of all, how dare you? Third of all,
that was a great angle shot, too, underneath.
You look like an older Ivan Drago. That's what you look like.
It's true. I must break you.
He dies.
But with the short legs, though, knowing damn well his legs are so long that he tucked them all the way up.
As I told you, if you want me to do it for you live, I will. But this is not an intimidation thing at all.
It's not intimidation.
Let's go! I listen to your show regularly. And I catch a lot of shrapnel, and I'm like, there's another guy who started this whole thing on my team that is just skating. Like him, he and Max and Bart are wrapped in Teflon right now. Like, they can't, nothing sticks to them.
What are you talking about, Han?
Max is
shooting the free throw to see if we get ball or not. You're definitely getting the ball. We're giving you a layup on this one.
Yeah, that's great.
It's a lot of confidence.
I have zero confidence. When's the last time you shot a ball, Max?
Max, just do me a favor.
I couldn't even tell you literally the last time I shot. But if I put up more than 10 shots in the last 10 years, I'd be shocked. Jeez.
Right. That's fine. Just hit the front rim so it bends a little bit, gives me a little extra, space.
I'm going to do it blindfolded, by the way.
I need a granny shot from Max.
Yeah, by the way, and to this day, the granny shot has never missed. It's never missed.
If you ask Rick Barry, yeah, that's the way you should shoot it.
That's right.
Wilt did it. It's good enough for Wilt. Should be good enough for Max.
Alan Hahn, ladies and gentlemen, of Bart and Hahn fame. He will be playing along with Bart Scott, Key and Jay, 2-on-2 next week. All right. Thank you, Alan.
See you, boys.
Do you guys have any confidence in either the Heat or the Celtics going up against the Warriors in the finals? We'll talk about that next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. That's right, Jay Williams here kicking it with you all. And Key, Max, here's a conversation. The Warriors are a game away from their six, let me make sure I hit that again. Their six, Key, finals trip in 8 seasons. And Steve Kerr says his team is peaking at the right time. Check this out.
Well, this is our probably our best stretch of the season where we've been able to put together really good lineups, different combinations that maybe we weren't able to get to the regular season, and we've got a lot of guys playing at a high level right now.
So, Key, when I'm watching the Golden State Warriors and I'm seeing Stephen Curry play at a high level, like a Western Conference Finals level. In which during the finals, he's averaging close to 30 points for his career, by the way. For his career. And I'm seeing the likes of Andrew Wiggins posterize Luka Doncic. Like, posterize the other team's best player. They're about to sweep the Mavs, or at least have a gentleman's sweep. Klay Thompson is finding his rhythm when it matters the most. Jordan Poole is still electric with the dribble and doing things, scoring at a high clip. And even though this team has lost Gary Payton II, and they've lost Otto Porter to a degree, Andre Iguodala's talking about coming back during the finals. Like, it makes me think, like, what is the best matchup for them coming out from the East? And that has to be the Boston Celtics. And I love the Miami Heat. But Kyle Lowry is a shell of himself. I don't know who Bam Adebayo is. And I'm not saying that the Heat don't have a legitimate chance to win the Eastern Conference Finals, because they can, by all means. But from a power punch perspective offensively and defensively, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, those are wings that you can put on the likes of a Klay Thompson, a Jordan Poole. A Marcus Smart, if he's back, if he's healthy, you can put him on a Stephen Curry and be physical with that. The likes of a Draymond Green, I like the matchup that Grant Williams and Al Horford and Time Lord can have. With that. I just feel like that's the NBA Finals that will give us the best bang for our buck. Do you feel me on that, or do you think it's Miami?
No, I think that the Celtics certainly – gives you the best bang for your buck. Miami is Jimmy Butler and a bunch of guys that may or may not show up. At least a healthy Boston Celtic team, we kind of know when they're healthy, they're going to put on a good show. We don't know what Tyler Hero is going to do. We don't know which Bam is going to show up, which Kyle Lowry is going to. Like, we have no idea if PJ Tucker, outside of the defensive side of things, are going to contribute. And I think for Jimmy Butler, if he can score 50 a game, then it gives him a chance. Anything less than that, they won't win.
But, Key, that's the crazy part. We're asking Jimmy to score. I mean, Jimmy scored 41 in game one. And, look, I was the first one to come out and be like, look, man, he's in the same statistical category as Michael Jordan. Like, the numbers were ridiculous in a single postseason, what he was averaging and what he was shooting from the field. He was shooting over 50%. But him going out in game three with the knee injury in the second half and then trying to – I mean, he didn't get to the free throw line in the first half last night in game four. And that's a sign to me that there's something that seems a little off with him. And, look, not having Tyler Hero, I think, hurts him. Kyle Lowry is banged up. He's trying to play through it. It just – I don't know if I can count on Jimmy Butler playing at that high of a level every single night.
Let me ask you something. Would it make more sense for Butler to not play to get more healthy so he can be closer to his – best self? Like, obviously, in retrospect, they'd have been better off with him not playing at all last night.
Yeah, but that's a hard thing to factor in, considering game five is now at home and it's 2-2. So you're saying that Jimmy doesn't play.
The game to take off was last
night. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that game five, if Boston wins it, then you're going back to Boston for them to close it out at home. I don't know if I want Jimmy Butler missing that much time. You're already unsure a little bit about Tyler Hero.
No, Jimmy Butler's got to play.
You got to have him play, man. He got to drop at least 40.
Got to play if you can play. You don't the hedging the bet of getting healthy and all that sort. You can't do that. Not right now.
But Key, I wanted to ask you, like, with Bam Adebayo only taking 5 shots last night, Game 3 took 22 shots. Have you ever had an experience in your life where you just weren't aggressive at all in a big game? You were just passive?
No, not at all. But, you know, everybody is built differently. If I was him, what'd you say, he shot it 22
times game three.
So 22 times in game three, then I'm going to shoot it 22 times in game four.
That's what I don't understand, though, Key. It's like you being in a big game and you telling your quarterback, I'm okay, man. You know, I'm okay. You know, give me the damn ball. Give me the ball.
I think I wrote a book that said that.
Thank you. So I don't understand how mentality-wise you can go from seeing what you could do. And I know a lot of it could be given towards the Time Lord, even though Robert Williams had a hobbled knee and Al Horford played one hell of a game defensively. But still, I'm at least getting 15 shots
up,
Key.
You also mentioned Kyle Lowry's impact.
Kicking the ball ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but a lot of times, Bam Adebayo was the one bringing the ball up the court. The ball was in his hands from the beginning. So it's like, you know, he was the one kind of just being passive. I just don't understand. So, I mean, we're going to get into that coming up. What the hell happened to the Heat last night? We'll talk about that next on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
So, James, our pinch hitting at producing today, had an interesting experience yesterday.
Yeah,
but
James,
one
what
that
happened?
I feel is relatable to people who have either had children or ever been a child. What happened, James?
Yeah, so my 7-year-old Johanna, I guess she at school they were playing with beads. They were like making necklaces or something, and she put one up her nose, a bead up her nose, and
it was like snorting beads. That's what we're doing now.
So finally, I mean, she was upset because she didn't want to get in trouble, but finally she told me that she was doing it to be funny. I think she was trying to entertain her friends, and she accidentally sniffed, and it went into her nose. And so we went to a walk-in, and they couldn't find it in there.
Accidentally sniffed.
And and then we had to go to the ER. And it ended up that we spent an hour or so waiting at the ER, and it took, like, 3 seconds for her to, blow her nose, and it just came flying out.
You couldn't, stick a...
what are you trying to... Stick what?
No, listen,
like a
I'm
Q-tip
not, no.
or a pin or something?
No, I didn't want to make further. It... Yeah, I didn't want to... I don't want to make it go up in there. That would have been even a bigger problem, I think.
No, because all you got to do is you pull the nostril back, Jay. Well, your nostril, never mind. You just pull the nostril back slightly.
He's saying you don't have to pull your nostril back.
Yes, and then you kind of naturally large enough to fit a Q-tip there. Got it.
Well, you put an orange in yours, but
your nostrils are exponentially larger than mine.
Jay is going to tell a story about being a kid and having an apple stuck up his
nose. Oh, God, stop. But, yeah, it just seemed like my young daughter had a little piece of corn that she stuck up her nose a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And it didn't go all the way down, but she kept saying, nose, nose, nose. It did all of a sudden.
Your little one?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so eventually. I had a brother who got something stuck up there, like a M&M
eventually,
or something.
Jen was able to stick her fingernails in there and pull it out.
Well, here's the worst part. When stuff like that happens and you end up going to the ER, James, I don't know how you felt about this way, but I've definitely been there with family members before, is when you're going through it and you're actually seeing people who really need ER, and you're like,
right, yeah. That's why we were waiting for
his
so long.
His arm is off. You probably want to attend to him first.
Yeah, I want
to
hear some
real
gross
stuff.
The best
part about James's story, though, is that couldn't do it at home, couldn't do it at a regular doc, has to get to the ER where they just say, blow your nose, and it comes right
and
out.
And that'll be $1,000
bill. Yeah, the most expensive stuffy nose that I'll ever encounter.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bet you never had a next-door neighbor have a cockroach stuck in his ear.
What?
Yeah, that's happened.
One of my next-door neighbors when I was little.
How does a cockroach get stuck
right
in your ear?
Yeah, roaches will go in your ear.
When you live like they were living, it happens.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Hold on a second.
What?
I think Kendrick Perkins, ESPN basketball analyst. Perk, what you got going on? You had Jack in the show.
Two teams that I don't want to wonder about or think about is the Brooklyn Nets and the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, right. So you can keep thinking about them. I'm not going to keep thinking about them.
Now. Perk, that wasn't funny. Well, you come back in the LAPC and your credentials don't work to get in the building at the LAPC. You'll know why.
Come on, Key. Don't do me like that. Don't do me like that. I'm just saying, man.
It's all fun and games until somebody gets hurt.
Until somebody gets locked out. Oh, yeah. You know what song that is. Welcome back to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. It is time for the percolator. Kendrick Perkins, our main man, the myth, the legend, here with us. What up, KP?
What's up, my good brothers?
What's going on, my brother?
Hey, now what's happening?
Hey, so right off the bat, man, tell me, what are your initial thoughts last night? Where is Bam Adebayo when you need him the most, Perk?
Well, look, this is what happened to Bam Adebayo. All right, this
out of
is
the
what
bio.
Happened. To him. Yeah, out of the bayou. Yeah, this is what happened to him. Robert Williams. I mean, when you look at the combination of Robert Williams and Al Horford, it's going to be hard for Bam, man. It's going to be hard for him to score. It's going to be hard for him to get his game off. Now you take Robert Williams off the floor. I mean, he may have another 30-point game, but I doubt it still. Look, Al Horford played with a lot of pride last night. And the thing that sticks out most to me is that, you know, Bam was the one that was complaining about, you know, when he didn't make the All-Star team. He was complaining about not winning Defensive Player of the Year. And you know how you shut a lot of people up or prove a lot of people wrong? By going out there and performing right now, like when it matters the most, when it's on the big stage. And he's just not there. Look, think about this. In 2020, when they played the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, Bam led the team in points, rebounds, and assists. I believe he averaged 20, 11, and 5. He's averaging 13, 7, and 4 right now. 13, 7, and 4. That's a huge drop-off.
Perk, give me one word to describe the Miami Heat's performance last night.
Pathetic. And I say pathetic because their half-court offense is just so horrible, right? If the Miami Heat not turning you over and getting out in transition and getting deflections and things to that nature, they do not get easy baskets. Key, I want you to think about this. The Celtics shot 39% from the field, 23% from three. Jaylen Brown was 5 for 20, and the Celtics won by 20 points last night. That just tell you how bad offensively the Miami Heat are, and they have for a sense. And so the Celtics, they took care of the basketball. They took care of the rebounding. And all of a sudden, when you take away those things where the Miami Heat can't jump up the game, they're going to struggle offensively.
Kendrick Perkins joining us, ESPN NBA analyst on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Big Perk, Warriors, Mavs play tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on TNT. And Dallas is a one-point favorite. But, I mean, is this – look, the laugh says it all. Doesn't it feel like this thing has been over?
Yes. Yes, it has. It has. Look, can I ask y'all a question?
Of course.
People have been thinking that I'm out of my mind, right? I made a comment yesterday, and I made a – well, not a comment. I actually just spoke facts, okay? And I was talking about Steph Curry. The way that Steph Curry is playing right now, right, and, you know, on the verge of possibly winning his fourth NBA championship and probably to win the finals MVP, I'm looking at Steph Curry and I'm like, one, where does he rank for his all-time greats? Where does he rank for his all-time point guards? And how does he not move the needle when we talk about Mount Rushmore? I mean, he won his three championships against LeBron James. He broke up a happy home with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant in the Western Conference Finals and had KD come join his team. And I'm thinking about how he changed the game from a generational standpoint for us, like making it okay to take shots that would have people buried on the end of the bench. And doing this at his height, at his size, being just dominant all across the board. Like, how does he not move the needle in all those areas?
You know what, Perk, though? No, that's a good question. I would say, just based on my knowledge of basketball, is that Steph Curry has never been considered the best in the league, in the game, at this particular career. Where those others that people talk about, LeBron James, you know, Will Chamberlain, whatever, Bill Russell, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan, they've always been considered the best in the world. So I think that's one of the main reasons why you have that.
Mm. But, I mean, we talk about a guy, you know, unanimous MVP, right?
I get it. Hey, Perk, I get it.
Yeah, but
I'm with you.
I know, and you know what's crazy, though? Know, think about this for a second. It's only four players in NBA history that have won multiple championships along with multiple MVPs, along Preach. With multiple scoring titles.
Preach.
That's Jordan, that's Kareem, that's Wilt, and that's Steph Curry.
Mm. But think about what you just said, though. Every last one that you just mentioned was always considered the best to ever do it. He never got that. He never got that. And on top of that, I think the Kevin Durant to Golden State deal kind of watered things down a little bit, because even people like Max, who can't talk right now because his voice, and I'm glad of that because he'll chime in and try to change the narrative a little bit. Even guys have this whole notion of Steph Curry is just a really good basketball player who did something in terms of a great shot. They don't dive into all the facts the way that you just did.
Mm. I'm just asking because I don't want to seem like a guy that's just sitting up here just living in the moment. But I think, you know, we've been taking this guy for granted for too long. Like, what he's been doing at that size and how he changed the game, I think is – he's putting us on notice again to recognize and go back and look back at what he has done for the league, the game of basketball, and everything across the board.
Perk, real quick, we were talking about dynasties earlier, and I said that if the Warriors win, this has a chance to go down as one of the best dynasties that we've seen because of, you know, doing it, getting to the finals six times over 8 years, winning four. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yes, and you know why? It's because of the plug and replace. Think about it. The first championship, right? Yes, you had your core three, big three, and Draymond, Steph, and Clay. But then all of a sudden you win it with Harrison Barnes, okay? And no knock on Harrison Barnes. Then all of a sudden, you know, Harrison Barnes, you trade him and you get Kevin Durant. Then you win two more. And now all of a sudden KD leaves and you get Andrew Wiggins, a guy that everybody had counted out, former number one pick, guy that nobody believed in no more. And all of a sudden he comes there and fill that void. Those were big shoes to fill, playing that wing position, being that 3-and-D guy slasher cutter to the basket. And you think about, like, how they're doing it. And they did it. They got it out the mud. Like, those three guys that are still there were drafted there. So, like, for them to get it out the mud and go through the grind and go through the process, I have to agree with you on that, Jay.
So, Big Perk, if the Celtics get by the Miami Heat and Golden State beats the Mavs, who are you picking for the championship and why? You got 20 seconds, brother.
I already picked the Celtics, man. I got the Celtics winning at seven. I just think that defensive versatility that starting five has when they healthy, I don't know no team that could get past that, to be honest. Remember, Jay, defense win championships. Offense win you games, but defense go win you championships.
I hear that. Defense travels. That's Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst. Perk, congratulations on being on SNL as well, my brother.
I will appreciate it, Jay. Hey, Keith, keep it real one time, brother.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.